Chapter 4. Media Lynching. The red light of camera 1 glared like a predator's eye. Julian sat in Studio A, the beating heart of Oikos Live News. He wore an impeccable gray suit, makeup masking the paleness of his skin, a lavalier mic clipped to his collar. Before him, the teleprompter scrolled the reassuring words he was supposed to deliver for the national news. In the control room, Marcus Vane watched him behind the tinted glass, a motionless shadow sipping his usual drink. On air in 3, 2, 1. Good evening, citizens of Oikos, Julian began. His voice was steady, but inside he felt the weight of Kale's device pressed against his thigh. He had connected a bypass transmitter to the control desk. Tonight, I will not read the script that has been prepared for me. Tonight, I will tell you what really happened in Sector 9, and about the Mirror Project. An eerie silence fell over the studio. The camera operators exchanged terrified glances. Julian didn't stop. The images you have seen are fake. The government ordered the massacre to make room for luxury housing. I have the proof, I have the drone launch codes, I have the names of the culprits sitting at the top. Julian pressed the button on his device. On the massive screen behind him, the Mirror Project document should have appeared. But the Oikos Live News system wasn't just a network of cables, it was a living organism designed to defend itself. We are experiencing a technical difficulty, an off-camera voice said, but it wasn't the director's. It was a synthetic, distorted voice. On monitors across the city, Julian's image began to jitter. Through a real-time deepfake, his features were warped, his eyes suddenly appeared wide, bloodshot, his mouth was manipulated to make him look like a maniac in the throes of a delusion. I want to see you suffer. The elite is right to crush you. The words coming from the speakers were not the ones Julian was speaking. The system was overriding his voice with a synthetic audio track, a monologue of hatred toward the very people he was trying to save.
Stop it.
That's not me. They're manipulating the signal. Julian shouted, standing up and ripping off his microphone. But to the millions of viewers at home, Julian Vesper had just lost his mind. They saw him laughing sinisterly, they saw him pull out what looked like a handgun, in reality, Kale's transmitter, graphically transformed into a weapon by the video filters. In less than 30 seconds, the journalist of the people had become the psychotic terrorist. The studio doors burst open. Internal security agents rushed in, weapons drawn. Julian looked toward the control room. Marcus Vane was standing, his face illuminated by the reflection of the monitors. He wasn't angry, he was smiling with contemptuous pity. Julian Vesper, Vane's voice thundered through the studio speakers as the cameras continued to broadcast the lynching live, you have betrayed the nation's trust. Your delusion ends here. A rifle butt struck him in the back of the head. As the world faded to black, Julian heard the final sentence of the broadcast, delivered by an AI that had already taken his place. We apologize for these disturbing images. Mr. Vesper has suffered a paranoid schizophrenic break. The government will take charge of his rehabilitation.